I've been really getting into outdoor church signs. I've been looking a lot at what other people are putting up on their marquees, and I've been trying to get in the habit of changing ours every so often. And there was one that read not too long ago, "When you were born, your mother brought you to church. When you were married, your wife brought you to church. When you die, your friends will bring you to church. Why not try coming to church on your own sometime?" It's a good message, one we ought to share. Our scripture for today is from the second gospel writing in the New Testament called Mark. In some ways, I like Mark because he cuts to the chase. He gets right to the point. He doesn't fluff his gospel with a lot of extra writing. If you look at Mark in comparison to Matthew or Luke, it's a lot shorter. You know, he's just straight to the point. It's like, this is it. Go with it. Right off the bat, he declares that something amazing has happened. A change has happened that is going to affect the whole world. A messenger appears crying out in an unpromising place and pointing to the future. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness. "Prepare the way of the Lord," he says. "Make his path straight." That messenger that Mark is referring to is obviously John the Baptist, as we've read. But you know, when I read this scripture, and I'm sure when you've heard it too, this passage in Mark, you realize that we've heard this business about the wilderness before. But where is that? Well, Mark is quoting from Isaiah 43 through 5, which says, "A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." It's not hard to see when we read that in Isaiah why Mark quoted from that. You can almost hear the prophecy of Christ to come in that scripture in Isaiah. And what's happening there sounds a lot like what John the Baptist is doing. Walking around out in the wilderness, dressed in his itchy camel hair clothes, and preaching about the one who was to come. And helping people to see that they need to smooth out their rough spots. They need to get themselves straightened out before the one greater than he comes. But I would say that those two scriptures also sound a lot like what's going on today. Don't we see many people on long highways to nowhere? And people going through times of valley lows and mountain highs? Aren't we always saying, "My, it sure is a jungle out there"? Don't we hear on almost a daily basis about people finding themselves in rough spots with no hope of getting out? We see it all the time. All you gotta do is turn on the news or read the paper. It sure seems like a time when we could use John the Baptist walking around out in the woods out here, calling to people to come out of the city and out of their sinful and busy lives to repent and to get their act together and prepare for the Lord. Well, you know what, folks? John the Baptist is here in this church today, and I'm looking at him right now. He's each of you and he's me. You see, we are supposed to be the messengers for Christ. We are supposed to be the ones crying from the wilderness and paving the way for the coming Lord. God has raised the church, you and me, to be the ones to help his people, to see that they need to repent and change their ways. Now, thankfully, we don't have to wear camel's hair and eat bugs and honey, although I like honey, not too big on the bugs. To do this, the camel's hair, we see people wearing jackets and things today made of hair, but it's always got a nice liner on the inside. It's very comfortable. When John wore his camel hair clothes, he was wearing that hair up against his skin. I mean, just thinking about it makes me want to, you know, itch a little bit. And can you imagine wearing something like that in climate in the summertime? Sweating and humid and bleh. But we don't have to wear that to do what God is calling us to do. Now you're probably thinking, well, preacher, that's all fine and dandy. Do all this paving of the way for the Lord stuff. But this is kind of a busy time of year. Isn't this kind of a bad time of year to try to do that? With everybody so busy buying presents and going shopping and getting the car ready for Christmas trips and for holiday trips and making pies and cookies. It's just a very busy time of year. People don't have time to hear about paving the way for the Lord. And those parties, oh my goodness, there's always tons of Christmas parties to go to, and we can't miss one because we don't want to leave somebody out and make them feel bad, do we? So it just doesn't seem like a good time of year to do this, preacher. Well, the point is, the Christmas season is the perfect time of year to become the John the Baptist that God is asking us to be, and to pave the way for the return of the Lord. You see, everybody out there from rock singers to the politicians are singing Christmas carols. I watched a program the other night, the lighting of the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Plaza, and I really enjoyed the program. But you know, I had to stop and wonder when I saw some of these rock artists of today, and I have nothing wrong with them, but I wondered when I watched some of them sing with their goatees and all kinds of things, do they really understand what they're singing about? I mean, their voices were beautiful. They did wonderful renditions of the songs, but did they really understand the point? You know? There is just, the point here is there's just too much extra stuff at Christmas, too much fluff. We get too caught up in the decorations and the present buying and all these things going on and the parties and all that. We forget about what the main reason is for this season. Everybody's running around this time of year with a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. But they need someone to cry out what that feeling is. They need someone to tell them that it's not just the spiked eggnog or the apple cider or the hot cocoa that's giving them that warm, fuzzy feeling. Although that'll do it, but not the same feeling. They need someone to tell them what those Christmas carols they've been singing are all about. They need someone to tell them what this season is all about. Furthermore, we need to remember that Christmas is not just about remembering what Christ first came and did, but also about the fact that He will come again. You see, that's the part of the story we forget to tell people. You know, we put our mangers out and we talk about, you know, oh yes, Jesus came once and we're celebrating His birthday and we all get the presents and that's pretty cool and all this stuff. But we forget to say what the rest of the story is. And that is that Christ is going to come again. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. Christmas is not just about celebrating an event in history. It is also about pronouncing the hope that we have been given in Christ for the future. That's what Christmas is about the hope. The hope that the one that came and died on the cross and saved each one of us has made a promise that He will return. And we have the hope in knowing that He's going to come again. He came the first time, and because of that, we can know that He'll come again. So Christmas is about hope. Christmas is the perfect time of year to be out doing the paving the way for the Lord. You know, it's kind of, I don't know if you notice the phenomenon that happens, and I think God does it. But we were out shopping a week ago in a mall, and there were tons of people there. And everybody was buying stuff and loading their buggies and whatever and running around. And lines were long, and yet everybody you ran into in the line was just happy, and you're talking to them, and friendly, most everybody. And, you know, the clerks that were waiting in the stores, you know, these long lines and everybody trying to get through, and they were wishing people Merry Christmas. God does something to people at this time of year. You know, He puts a spell on them or something. I shouldn't say that in church, I guess, but He does something to them because everybody just, it's like He turns them down a notch, you know, and says, all right, everybody needs to chill out. It's Christmas time. You know, so everybody's running around, but everybody's just seems to be a little more friendly, a little more receptive. And so I ask you, don't you think that while people are a little more friendly, a little more receptive, that that would be the perfect time while you're standing in the long line at Sears to start to talk to somebody, your person standing in front of you as you engage in conversation? What this season means to you, what this whole Christmas thing means to you? Then you can be the John the Baptist in Sears. Without the camel clothes, of course. I think Mark gives us the best example of how to pave the way for the Lord during the holiday seasons, and we've kind of already touched on it. You know, Mark in his gospel cut the fluff, cut all the extra out. He got straight to the point in his gospel. And I think that's a lesson for us in how we go about doing what we're called to do during the Christmas season. We've got all this other going around us, and we just cut the fluff and get straight to the point and let people know. This is what Christmas means to us. You know, that our Savior was born on this day, but then He did die for us, but He is coming again. Cut the fluff. Get straight to the point with people and pave the way to the Lord. Will you pray with me?